hang on to your lug nuts, because it's time for an overhaul. I am Chris Cash from Mount Phillip Metalworks. This is Roy Scott from Vintage Axe Works, and our very first special guest, Brett McAfee. Go ahead, Brett, with the
Yeah, that's how you say my last name. That's good.
McAfee? Is it McAfee?
Hey, my name is Brett McAfee. Hey.
Fucking Back to the Future 3. Oh, Brett McAfee. Brett McAfee came.
Mr. Eastwood. That's a funny name.
Mr. Eastwood. I don't think you're from around here, Mr. Eastwood.
Oh, my God.
Brett, what is the name of the podcast, Brett, if you could be so kind?
Get it right. You get one shot.
He's got this. Do it in the...
Axe and Iron.
So not as good as the first time.
No. Welcome to the podcast. Axe and Iron.
That's so fucking good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's go.
So what's up, fellas? What are we talking about?
We recorded last night, and Roy lost it.
I did. Because he totally fucked.
Amazing amount of material on his computer, and he lost it somewhere inside the amazing amount of material.
Seriously. I know we chatted all fucking day about this, but I don't know what happened to that goddamn file.
It's fine. Whatever.
I don't know how you guys chatted all day. Don't you both have jobs that you do?
We spent a good 30 minutes on it.
Trying to figure out where the
file went, and if there was people were having problems with Skype files just disappearing into the wind. Roy's uploading he's working on a video right now.
I am working on a video right now. It's a big time 4 minute and 11 second video of what
That's awesome.
I did in the shop today.
That's awesome.
I hate doing this. I really do. It's just
Brett. Let him have it, Brett. Let him have it. He does not know.
So hey. I had 4.5 the video I'm working on right now had 4.5 hours of footage and I shot it tight. And now it's 13 and a half minutes after editing, and it moves about 1,000 miles an hour. It is 287 clips, individual clips.
God.
And there's graphics added to it and music beds and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you tell me how hard it is, man.
No, it's dude.
I told him, Matt edited for 16 hours the other day.
So yeah. it's not hard. It's just I was telling Chris before we got on the call. It's like I get in from the shop at 7 o'clock and I'm looking at another hour to an hour and a half of fucking editing on my freaking little phone. It's just one more thing. I just want the fucking evening to be over. I know, first world fucking problems.
It really is. But you're not wrong. It's the right way to describe it is not that it is hard. It's not difficult.
No.
It's just adding another challenge or another step in your day. You want to try and produce content. You want to try and not necessarily play the game, but you want to be a part of it. You want to be online. You want to have people to have, insight into what you're doing and put it out there. Then it takes extra work.
You don't necessarily see
a return.
I didn't hear anything you just said because you're just a magnificent creature with that blonde flowing locks and stunning.
God.
Stunning. I don't even know what to say. And Roy, your tattoos all over your hands?
Jesus. I know. I look like a fucking criminal. So, my friend called me yesterday.
I mean, based on those prices, I'd say you were one.
My friend called me last night. And, yeah, I don't know what the fuck you all are talking about. giggle.
Let it rip.
So, he called me last night and, we were talking about something and I mentioned tattoos or whatever and he hasn't seen me in about 5 years. And I go, dude, I've got an Instagram.
Since you've gotten out.
So that's where this is going. So I was like, I have an Instagram account. Haven't you heard? And he's like, dude, I don't do Instagram. I was like,
did he say, what the fuck is the internet?
Yes, he did. But I sent him a link to my YouTube channel. And then he immediately writes back and he's like, dude, it looks like you just served 20 to fucking life.
Did you tell him it was, did you tell him it was only five? If he hasn't seen you in 5 years, I would have went with it.
Yeah.
I got out early on good behavior.
Yeah, exactly. I got up for parole and they let me out. I got 20 something years of probation. But,
you know. So yes, I do have a lot of tattoos.
I still think you should have got Cash tattooed instead of Hank, but whatever, you know. It's fine. Whatever. I see where our friendship lies.
Yeah.
Brett's got me tattooed on him somewhere.
Oh yeah. Well, I've probably got burn marks and scars from our time together. So
somehow or another, when you put them all together, they say Cash.
Yeah, they really do. Whatever. I've got that beautiful vice that you gave me that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. The Kansas City vice. Did you see that little giant I got today?
Huh? Yeah. What is with the smoking hot cherry red you got going on?
Yeah, seriously. That thing has popping.
So there's a guy in Michigan that rebuilds them, and that's like his signature move. When he's finished rebuilding them, don't ask me why, but he paints them bright red.
I wonder if he's got this weird Tony Stark aspect where they're showing him and he's like, what color scheme do I want? And he looks at his hot rod and he's like, yeah, let's go with that one.
You know, he doesn't do a bad spray job. Like, he tapes up the moving parts and everything. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you guys saw it. It's beautiful.
I know. So I like yours being all blacked out.
I know. That's how we all are too. Like, everybody that, you know, when you have a shop, even Ilya, he immediately painted the air hammer was like that battleship blue color. He like stripped it down the very next day and painted it black with
and then put Adidas stripes on it.
Oh yeah, because Slav life.
So no collusion. So does it look good from like 15 feet away?
No, dude, it looks good at like 3 inches away. It's beautiful. Really? Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah, the guy does a bang up job on them. And they're not in terms of 25 pound hammers, which is the smallest little giant you could get. It's relatively expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got like $2,000 in parts on it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, one of these days when I'm ready to get a 50 pound, Chris, you're just going to be on the hunt for me.
Yeah, man.
That's what I told him before we got on there too. Like, one day I will buy one from you.
You got to start moving steel first, though.
So yeah. the 25.
Come on, man.
The 25 pounder left before I even acquired it.
Wow. Like,
that's how hot to trot. Because they're a sought after hammer, they only weigh like 900 pounds. You can put them on a hand truck and put them wherever you want.
Yeah.
It looks like a bubble gum machine to me, like that red. And mm-hmm. I'm like, it looks like a freaking toy. When the guy pulled up with it on his trailer, like, the trailer looked humongous, but it was just like a regular 5x8 trailer because he's got this little toy on the back. But it's cool.
What size motor is on that?
He put a 220. It's still a single phase motor, but he put a horse and a half 220, which doesn't need that much.
Really? But,
yeah, no, not at all. I mean, the flywheel's only, what's the flywheel? 10 inches, I think. It's tiny.
Hmm. Yeah, man. So what can you get away with?
Oh, you could do a 3/4 horse on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like standard 115, like a Baldor or whatever?
Yep. Not doesn't even have to be. I mean, you can put a piece of crap motor on it. All you're doing is spinning a.
Yeah.
Welcome to Motor Talk here.
Seriously.
At Axe and Iron.
Electric Motor Talk. We're here for all your electric motor restoration projects.
Sure, Carlos, when you got some engine problems, three-quarter horsepower motor. I mean, I got no problem talking about 3/4 horse.
I mean, Rubin's racing.
Oh,
I pretty much wake up in the morning and piss excellence.
Oh. Is this just going to be a freaking movie fest jerk-off session or what?
Well, when you got me and Brett in here,
fuck.
I'm gonna make all the...
We have at it. We're on Lord of the Rings, Back to the Future to...
The Mask.
Mask.
And Ricky Bobby.
And, Talladega fucking Nights.
And the Catalina fucking wine mixer.
Yeah. Oh, God. Catalina... God. Fucking stepbrothers.
Yeah, man.
So what news from today's work, Roy? Because I saw you hung all those, but you were saying that you got caught up in some conversations. Was that you and Chris trying to sort out the recording situation?
So that was one conversation, and thank you for following me so meticulously. I'm actually very, I'm flattered, really.
Oh, man, I'm so flattered, though, because I got followed by you 12 hours ago. So,
so there's a story behind, there's a story busted. Behind that, and I was hoping that you didn't notice.
He texted me last night. He was like, I see how it is.
Fuck's sake. No, said, there's a story. There's a fucking
Roy
story.
Roy don't fucking know nobody. That motherfucker just fucking does his own thing. He's in his own little zone.
So that's half of it.
Yeah.
So let me. So you asked two questions. Well, you asked one question, then you called. Then you called me out. So let's. So the first one, yes, I was fucking around with Chris today, trying to find that goddamn file, which to no avail. And then second, I've got a good friend. He lives up somewhere northern Ohio or whatever, and he's got like 400 axes and. He's like a no-nonsense, no-bullshit kind of guy, and he sends me a text, hey, I've got 19 axes I want to sell. Here are pictures. 10 of them are this. The rest are this, this, and this. And that whole conversation going back and forth took a little bit of time because, you know, we're talking several hundred dollars. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. I'll cut that out. I don't think no one's going to listen to this. I wasn't supposed to say that. Fuck. It doesn't matter. So that whole conversation kind of like, you know, it takes a little bit of time. And I tried to freaking get him to come down. And then like he would not fucking come down at all. So anyway, so that took some time. The second part of that, whenever you called me out, is I have this thing on Instagram that is completely
bullshit.
No, listen to this.
I'm sorry, I had something in my throat. What's that?
Yeah. So, if you look at large accounts, this is totally unverifiable.
Like no Skull and Spade 13.
No empirical evidence. If you look at large accounts, and this is on average, most large accounts don't follow very many people. And if you look at enough, again, like I said, large accounts.
Touché. Shots fired.
So they follow on average around
I'm sorry I can't fucking draw knife shit like you and get 90,000 views. I'll start draw knife shit.
Fuck off. So I have this little thing called My 200. All right. Ooh. And so if you are in My 200, that means that I pay attention to what you're doing. You're posting actively.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Is this like an app within an app?
No. It's just something that I noticed.
Wait, do you set that up?
No. I periodically go through and I look at things. If people make comments on my posts.
Hey, Brett, does this sound like cool kid shit to you? It sounds like cool kids shit to me.
It is not fucking cool kids anything. This is me taking, like, I'm actively controlling my Instagram account. So,
Brett, you know what? We'll just keep working hard.
I'm done.
Nah, I'm just kidding. It's funny shit.
Dude,
it's
that is shit. Difficult, though. That is legitimately difficult because, admittedly, if you start following, like, hundreds of people or whatever just out of solidarity, then your feed gets... It's hard to keep track of what everybody's doing.
Look,
know?
Listen, I'll be the first to say, if you're making cool shit, I'm going to follow you. I'm following like 670 people, and I genuinely like the 670 people that I'm following and what they're doing.
Right. Well, no. What I'm getting at is it is difficult. So if you're following however many people you're following, it doesn't fucking matter at the end of the day. But whatever you're able to keep track of, it's just being reasonable on yourself. So, Roy, admittedly, if you're just like, dude, over 200.
Roy can't handle. Yeah, he can't handle over 200.
It's not that I can't handle more than 200, but your feed becomes extremely cluttered. And with the new fucking algorithm that's going on.
Am I in the 200 club?
Yes, both of you fucking are.
Brett just made it.
Brett so, just made it. Just Brett, wait. Who'd you take out so Brett can get in the 200 club? That's what I want to know. That's good podcast shit right there. You gotta take it out.
So Brett was in there for a long time.
Bullshit. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you were in my freaking 200 because, like we were talking last night, you and I went back and forth and back and forth, and then stuff just kind of faded out and I don't know if you actively like stuff on my page and if you make comments, and that's another gauge that I use. So if people are genuinely engaged with my content and I like what they're doing, then I will follow them back because the recipient on the end, I feel that it makes them feel more special. Vintage Axeworks only follows 200 people, and if I'm in that group, that's fucking awesome. But if
take
you're
me,
not...
Take me the fuck out of that group.
You're already gone, bitch.
Delete.
Unfollow. You're blocked, bitch.
Unfollow right now.
Dude,
there's a mute option. What does that actually do? Does anybody know what that actually does?
I don't know. I'm all.
So what's the difference between block and mute?
It takes them out of your stories. Like, you still follow them, but they don't show up in your stories.
Ooh, do you not see any of their content?
Yeah. You got to remember to, like, unmute them at some point.
So weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a way of passively saying, like, I will follow you, but I don't want you taking up space in my feed.
Wow. That's
then cool. Why even follow someone? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
If you get into the 200 club, then you're like, holy shit.
Hey, you said it.
You could follow 7,000 people and mute
them all.
6,980 of them. Or wait, my
you
math
fucked math.
My math is totally wrong.
I was like
6,800 of those people, and that means you'd only get 200 people in your feed, and those would be the only 200.
Bro, you need me to help you put that foot in your fucking mouth again, or
no, not at all. Because
to look at my comments section of every video I've ever posted on my YouTube channel and see that I've replied to every single comment.
So I'm not a YouTube guy.
Oh, but you're becoming one. Hey, listen to this. Since Brett's here, Brett will know how to do this.
Roy, sorry, dude. We're taking a piss at you.
We're just fucking with you. What is live premiere? I was telling Roy about live premieres. He said he's never even heard of it. I know Matt has done live premieres on his channel.
Yeah,
where everybody
you can schedule a premiere, which is like it'll make an announcement on YouTube and say that there's a new video coming out, and it'll set like a reminder time that people can like. So a thumbnail will show up as a reminder. So it'll kind of live there if you're waiting on posting content. If you do a live premiere, then that just gives people a heads up by a few hours or however long advance you set the live premiere. And that way people can kind of prep or schedule around.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, so I told him
they can set a reminder 30 minutes before you go on. It's like, oh hey, remember you're gonna watch Roy on YouTube.
So what I was telling him was that he could cross announce it on his Instagram stories, say, hey, I'm gonna have a live premiere over my YouTube channel at 6 o'clock, because he's trying to, you know, the follower count doesn't follow each other.
Oh, like, absolutely not.
No, the what's the word I'm looking for here? They just don't. They don't jive together.
Right.
Like somebody that has 1 million followers on YouTube will have like 10,000 on Instagram. It just But if you want to carry over some of your audience and genuinely let them know what you're doing over there, if they want to see more of your stuff, then you could say, "Hey, live premiere on my video at 6 o'clock." And then,
well, I still think that's beneficial for Roy just because of what he does. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What you would be showing on your YouTube is just a long format version of what you're getting on Instagram. So,
yes, with cool music,
you're not limited by, you know, 10 seconds on a story or 1 minute in a post. You can do 4 or 5 minutes on a chat.
So, did you guys notice that on Instagram they have completely done away with the IGTV button on the top right, and now you can just post long form videos?
Yeah.
And it'll just preview the 1 minute, and then it'll continue on, like continue watching.
It's
Andrew's using that a lot.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And I just wonder how well those videos do.
Who cares?
I'm not saying his fuck's sake.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, who cares?
There's a reason to care.
Well,
if they're not doing well, then why even fucking put in the effort to do them on Instagram?
Just I want to know how much effort it takes to film yourself doing that. When you want to talk about effort, that's perspective, though.
Like them,
or that's objective.
Like them hot dance videos.
Right, those hot dance videos where he's got that music underneath probably took 10 more minutes than they needed to. It could have just been Chris going,
"So funny.
Here's a power hammer. It's great." But he took this stupid amount of time.
No.
Oh my.
No, the reason we're doing that is because too many people are taking themselves way too seriously.
I love it.
And we're genuinely having fun all day out there. So we're transferring that into a video form to let everybody know that we're a bunch of fucking jackasses having a blast out here. And fuck you if you don't like it.
Oh my God.
That's exactly why we're doing it.
Did you see my story yesterday about whenever I said, if you don't like Frankie Valli, you don't like fucking rock and roll?
Wait, are you on Instagram?
Go fuck yourself.
I'm just kidding. Yes, I did see that. Did you get a ton of comments?
I did, yeah. Actually.
Oh, well.
And my wife said that I was very cute. So all is well.
That's all that matters. I'd say it's
a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here, I got to show you guys. This is like my favorite thing to just randomly send to people.
Oh,
sorry for the listeners, but you can't see this. But
Chris, oh, that's great. Okay, so for the
listeners, I just randomly send that to people because it's hysterical. People will be like, "Hey, I heard you're a blacksmith truck, maybe."
Okay, so what Brett just put up on the screen was my buddy Ilya in his incarceration outfit staring at the camera lovingly.
It looks like one of those recolorized vintage photos.
It does.
No, okay. So I work with him every day, and his whole persona is a recolorized historical photo.
Oh my God.
Somebody got ripped out of the 1940s.
Yes, exactly.
Hello, welcome to America. Yes, I am blacksmith.
I am blacksmith. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
He's the best.
No, Ilya is the best.
He's best.
No, Slav life
fun.
Is
we're
best.
Having fun, man.
Also, ever since he gave me shit because we were at Maker Camp and I was having trouble with those coal forges because the blowers were all janky and I couldn't get one of the coal fires started, and he just walks over and goes, "Do I need to start that for you?" And I was like, "Dude,
so no, you know, you want to know?"
He gave me like the biggest smile as he walked away too.
So I didn't get that. I didn't get that. I didn't know that part of the story. So every time a coal forge doesn't start or he tries to start it, he says, "I'm breading it up." It's like, what? He's like, "Brett, he cannot start the fire sometimes. The coal forge, he has problems." And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh,
no,
interesting. You should tell him he can watch one of my videos on YouTube.
He uses that as a reference point now when a fire doesn't start.
That's really cool.
It's funny.
Ilya.
But on the flip side of it, he said that you're a great blacksmith and you're hitting very hard and very controlled. Him and Matt both said that.
I hit slow but accurate if I can. Yeah. And that dude still owes me a hammer, so he can give me as much shit as he wants to, 100%. But I will hold that over. I will hold that over his head.
That the other day. I said, "What about Brett's hammer?" And Matt goes, "Aren't you supposed to be like that with friends? Like, you take your time on everything and all this shit." I was like, "No." Because we're going to have them on, or Ilya or Matt or whoever on eventually. But, Ilya finally just caught up on all his orders.
Dude, that's awesome.
Clean slate, literally. We hung a chalkboard in the shop. We're going to start putting up, like, weekly tasks of what all three of us are going to get done. And it's really starting to jive now. It's feeling really good.
You know what's crazy about that, though, is that 4 or 5 years ago when I was watching the Man at Arms channel, I was like, "Man, I think I want to try blacksmithing." It was before I took my very first class, And I remember going, man, it'd be so cool to meet those guys someday. Like, they just seem talented, and like, I don't know, I'd probably never make it.
What a disappointment, right?
Yeah.
You met them, you're like,
you're such an asshole.
No, they're super talented.
It's like, super I've seen dudes. So much garbage come out of their shop now.
Did you?
Did no, you man. See? Honestly, the work that they do that I've seen in person now, or watching, like, Ilya Forge and stuff, I picked up his hammer at that first hammering.
Yeah, man.
I was fooling with his hammer. I would have gotten the shit kicked out of me.
No, he's talented. Both of them are doing awesome. I've got a great feeling about what's happening right now. It's going to be awesome.
So, and did you still see NDA for like random bullshit that I can't ask about?
Say again?
You had some NDA. You can't tell me about something. You got secrets going on.
No, shit.
No secrets.
I don't know that for sure.
No. Did you see the most recent post that the Makers Camp put up acknowledging that two of the new demonstrators this year are Ilya and Matt? Did you see those photos?
Yes,
I did. I gave him so much shit. We were eating a Cracker Barrel today because his favorite thing to eat is spicy grilled catfish. And I was like, I hold the photo up. I'm like, is this really you or did they Photoshop somebody here? He's like... Fuck you. No, it's great. It's going to be cool. They're doing a, what are they doing? They're doing the Japanese, where they smelt.
Iron. Oh, they're going to do a bloom?
Yeah, they're going to do a bloom. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Wow, that's going to be super cool.
Roy, are you going to try and make it there?
I want to. I was actually going to ask you about that. I should really, really get up there.
Let me suggest researching the term maker and the maker community.
You just gotta go.
Fuck's sake.
I'm serious.
I know.
Dude, it is. It
will be a good awesome. Time. Yeah. And it will only ramp up this year because last year was still, you know, first year, still sorting it out.
I think
still
people
sorting
were...
itself out, but I think everybody had a great time.
Oh, yeah. Man, it was awesome. But people are very timid. Last year too, like, oh, we don't know if it's really gonna be a thing, and then it was like a thing, and then everybody's like, shit, I can't believe I missed it.
Yeah, it was pretty whip-cracked there at the end, which I told Austin about. Austin's a young man whose family
owns
the property, and Austin is a goddamn gentleman.
Yeah.
And so we'll be there doing like the intro blacksmithing thing again. Jess and I are gonna be there, and we were chatting out some of the, you know, needs and changes and things that we want, but everybody's in that same zone. Like everybody's wanted to take it a step up because of the timidness of the first year. Everyone was not wanting to overstep too far. And
I'm getting dual megaphones this year.
Yes. Dual megaphones.
See, so Roy, when this podcast takes off.
Yes, you did. It's
Roy comes up there. You guys as the podcast.
Yeah.
No. I got to have Steve again. Steve was like my right-hand man that whole weekend with the megaphone, dude. We bounced off each other so well.
Right.
Yeah.
So after you came back and you and I were talking, Chris, initially you said I should go and do like demo stuff. And then you're like, no, just come and fucking hang out and just chill and whatever.
Yes. Bring, if you, I think you can get a vendor spot. I don't even know why I'm saying, I think you can. I know you can because he just put a post up the other day saying that if people want a vendor spots to hit him up, blah, blah, blah. But what I was saying about, doing demos is, help me out here, Brett Bastionhead, first name,
Tracy and Chevron and Tracy. His wife, Katrina.
Yeah. They do like demos nonstop the entire time of draw knife, woodwork, handlework.
They are the hardest working people.
Dude, they are insane. It is awesome to watch. But what I was saying that they're going to be doing that, so it would give you the opportunity to just bring your stuff you do, and you don't have to work hard, and you can have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just have fun.
Either that, or you could. I would make the suggestion: reach out to Tracy, you know, and just have a chat with him because you guys might be able to like. Maybe he could be demoing and you could come in and talk about some other aspects of it, or you guys could kind of play off of each other. I don't know how that would work out, but those kind of conversations happen naturally. Like I went in and helped out with a bit of the team striking just because I was there and I wanted to swing a hammer for a little bit. And then Chris came over to, you know, the area that we were working on when we had Open Forge and was making this stupid, ugly art thing.
That art thing sits on somebody's mantle now.
Dude, it's Christie's. It's beautiful.
Yeah. But when you go there to work, it's like real work, though. That's why I was like, yeah.
Maybe not. Just go to hang.
That's right. It's real work. When you're working.
Yeah. We were pulling, we did 2 14-hour days with a setup and a breakdown on either side of that.
Yeah, it's fun. But if you go there to work, you're working. So.
So what's the advantage of going to work and give out?
You don't go to bed at midnight. You go to bed at 3 a.m.
Okay. Dude, I can't.
And when all you do is want to, like, make stuff for a living and talk to other people that make stuff for a living, it's worth it. Yep. The community aspect, Roy. Yes. Those of us that allow more than 200.
Oh, fuck. He's right. No, it was a great hangout.
Have you been to any maker events or anything like that, Roy?
No, not maker stuff. I've been to lots of axe meets and
stuff. Sausage parties where they all sleep in a tent together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Nuts to butts.
Every video I see of it, I'm like, God, that's got to smell like shit in there.
Yep.
Yep. Well, dude, if you want to, like, as far as I know, the shows that I've gone to in the past where it's a lot of booths and a lot of sales, and like demos, but no one else is really involved. Like, you're meant to be an attendee, watch things or buy things and kind of move along. The maker events are very much driven towards the sharing,
hanging out.
Like, you have opportunities to demo on stuff, play around with tools and techniques, learn shit that you've never done before. And the vending last year was pretty good. But again, for first year, there's a lot that could be better about it. And
yeah.
People that go to these events, like, if they're learning how to make an axe handle from Tracy and you've got 50 axe heads that need to be hung, somebody's going to come over there and buy something from you because they want to put their knowledge to use in that same situation, and it becomes foot traffic at that point. You're just feeding, someone's feeding you buyers at that point, but you're also there willing to, like, share your knowledge at the same point, because the vibe of the place is not like, classes are over there, and these guys sell you shit.
Yeah.
Don't talk to each other. No one knows each other. It's everybody's hanging out with everybody the entire time. And the more jazzed up you get somebody about, like, say, the blacksmithing students that we had last year, everybody wanted to go and learn, like, everything else, because they were like, oh, my God, I could make a knife. And you go, well, you shouldn't do that as your second project. But, you know, you could learn how to go and make epoxy stabilized handles, you know, over at the Total Boat place, or you can go to Tracy and talk about axe making and all these things. So
go learn how to weld.
Yes.
Chainsaw carving. What else do they have?
It's gonna be like framing this year and all kinds of good stuff. It's, I mean, bring a couple hewing axes and show them how.
I'm not a hewing kind of guy. That's just not my jam.
Bring one of those unsold plum whatever. So, and there was an axe throwing board last year, and people
were
boards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have them go demo it. And it'd be like, if you want to buy
that's
it,
exactly what I was just going to say.
If you break the handle, you got to buy it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There you go. I could do that. I could totally fucking do that.
That's funny that you guys brought that up, because me and Austin had a conversation that we need to make because the axe throwing thing was such a, it was like a afterthought, right? Mm-hmm. So we like set it up right when we got there, like, yo, we can throw axes. Let's fucking throw some axes then. And this coming year, I was like, dude, we need to make this thing like real, like legit. Like,
yeah.
Have like good axes, and because it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. We happened to be kind of the closest area to the axe throwing thing, and the amount of young kids stepping over the hay bales and winging knives at them. I wasn't but Austin said he's going to try and regulate that.
Wrenches with axe blades welded on them.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a tough one too.
Yeah, so I didn't think about that. Maybe you can do something with that, Roy.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there if you want to be able to go and kind of pay for the trip at least. Like, the exposure you'll get alone is worth it, especially if somebody it's predominantly on Instagram. Everyone's sharing everybody and tagging everybody. And you like, if you set up a booth and you go, oh, tag me and I'll give you a 10% discount or some crazy shit like that. Like,
what?
You could do all kinds of whatever kind of gimmicky fun stuff like that that you want. Or like, hey, go get an axe handle from Tracy and we'll hang an axe on it. And then you can tag Tracy and you like everybody plays together. We're all trying to benefit each other at those events.
If you want in Roy's top 200, you pay an extra $100 for an axe.
Oh. I should never have fucking said that.
No, you know, 100%. You should have never said that.
There is some fucking logic behind it. So listen, if someone out there that you admire, I don't fucking know who it is. Like, it just doesn't matter. And let's say they got, you know, 100,000 followers and they only follow 200 people and you're in their 200. That means Chris Cash feels pretty cool. Pretty fucking special. Don't you think so?
No. I don't give a shit. There's big
dude,
accounts.
This is a matter of perspective.
Yeah,
man.
It really is.
I like just knowing if anybody follows me. Honestly, they could fucking mute me and never see anything that I do. But it's more of just like a business card exchange for me. That's at least how I look at it, where you're like, yo, I think what you're doing is cool. You think what I'm doing is cool. Even if you're not necessarily keen on watching everything that you do, I'll follow whoever, man. I don't really give a shit. I dig people. I dig my Instagram. I'll follow you.
I honestly don't give a shit who follows me.
Oh, we're making too big of a deal.
No, it's not who follows you. It's who you're following.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but Chris was. I don't give a shit who's following me. Yeah, well, I mean. So, Brett, you're only following 571 people.
What is our number comparison between me and you? You have what, 40,000 and you're following 200. I have not 10,000 and I'm following 500.
Yeah. So I don't know the ratio.
Who gives a shit?
Dude, the thing is, I'm not predominantly on Instagram either, so that doesn't even track. Like, my perspective on that is my own, because I think Instagram's great just for keeping like the stories rolling, but I put 99% of my effort into my YouTube channel. So
speaking of that, in the lost footage of last night,
the last episode,
we were talking about Brass and Steel or whatever.
Yeah.
So I went back and
we got to keep
video.
That on the DL because I might do that to some axes and like sell them. For
all right, that's fine. I understand.
Yeah, let it rip. Let it rip. What were you saying?
So I watched your video where you made the freaking broom.
Yeah.
And
did you see him fly away on it?
So yeah, how the fuck did that's exactly what I wanted to fucking talk. Not the brassing or anything. How the fuck did you do that video?
So I do all the behind the scenes shit for Brett's videos. A lot of people don't know that.
Chris,
but he has this cable system and I lift him. I'm the counterweight because I'm like twice his size.
Shut up.
Okay.
Are you being
okay? He does it all digitally then. Is that what you want to hear? No, I lift him up while he's holding the broom. And he zips across and then adds like smoke behind him. He's trying to figure out.
I don't know whether to fucking believe you or not, you fucking asshole.
No, dude, 90 so many of my videos have little production effects in them and little visual effects. Because a lot of my background, I was kind of mentioning it in the Lost episode, but I spent a lot of years doing motion graphics and visual effects for companies in the past. So any opportunity I get to like digitally make myself fly off screen, that's not super complicated. And if you watch it in like slow motion, you can see that it's really just like a still. And then I kind of zoom forward, but it happens all the time. Like I'll make myself disappear or like all the cartoon videos where I do the video game things, like the ones with Chris where we made the anchor. That is a video game, 80s video game intro that I use every now and then that I made. That's all animated.
Are you a child of the 80s?
Oh,
you're not, 100%. You don't look very old.
Yeah, how old am I, Roy? How old am I?
Well, I would say you're in your like early 30s.
Right now you look like Dave Mustaine, so you look like you're...
You do 56. Look... Holy shit!
Dude,
he 100...
Does. Dude, I had to snap a picture of him earlier when he was half screen because he looked just like him.
There you
go. Holy fuck.
No, I'm 34. I mean, early 30s, yeah. Not too far off. But yeah, 85. I just had older brother and older sister, so my entire childhood, first 5-10 years of my life, was 80s and 90s because of my brother and sister.
How old does Roy look?
Fucking 76.
The old man.
Oh. The you old do not look man.
No, with those tattoos, you're pulling like a mid-30s, late 30s.
Ooh.
Mid-30s?
Mid to late 30s.
Not bad. Not bad.
You're not 40 in my mind.
Mm. That's good. That's good.
So do you know how old I am, Brett? Are you just swagging this?
Swagging? Well, if you take your hat off, maybe I'll get a better sense of things.
He's just swagging.
No.
No hair.
You've got a fucking young face, man. Doesn't matter.
I've got a fat face now.
Tell him how old you are.
What are you?
I'll be 42 in 2 weeks.
Hey, man. 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
It's the new 22. Oh, it is. 42 is the answer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was a fucking kid of the 80s.
I have an answer to the question you've been asking.
I've thought about it, but you're not going to like it.
You're not going to like the answer.
That's nerd shit, Roy. I'm sorry. You had to be a child of the not 80s for that.
What was that?
It's
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah,
actually, that book was written. I don't know when.
So there's like wrote that book. It's an old book, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
70s or 80s.
So they made a movie. Roy
wasn't was pretty... Oprah in that fucking movie?
No,
Oprah. No.
What movie am I thinking of that Oprah was in?
That's close enough. I think. Yeah,
she was in some weird fucking fantasy movie.
Oh no. The Time movie. What the heck is that? No, that's a recent movie. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is relatively, but like it's got to be 15 years old now.
Yeah,
like early 2000s. Yeah. Oh, I nailed it.
Yeah. Book was
yeah.
Late
so 70s. They asked. There's like this ancient. What do you call the people? I was gonna say like ancient people, but they were like, "What's the meaning of life?" So they invented the supercomputer, and the supercomputer was like, "I figured out the answer to the question." I can't do the accent.
It took 2,000 years for her to compute the answer to life, the universe, and everything, and it was 42. So
the number 42.
Really? So that wasn't you?
No, I'm saying 42's a good year. 42's a good year. You've learned enough stuff, and you're still kind of an idiot. So.
Is Joey trying to whoop your ass? Your dog's getting the best of you? Your dog is like, my dog shits bigger than your dog. And
he's trying to chase the fucking cat that went behind
my... No, let him chase the cat. That's what they do.
The problem is, will you let me fucking talk? God damn. The cat went behind my fucking axe rack in my house, so I got all my finished product and my personal pieces in my fucking living room, and Joey's trying to get to the fucking cat, and he's rattling all these goddamn handles around, and they're all fucking razor blades. Like, if any one of those fall off, it will fucking annihilate my dog.
Oh, but you don't care about the cat.
Well, the cat's fucking hidden. Joe can't get to him.
This is the best podcast content.
I told you, this is going to be amazing. This just took a wild turn. Oh, look at Joey.
At that pup.
He's a shithead.
God damn, total. That's a fucking dog.
This is a Basenji, the African like barkless dog.
I don't even like dogs.
You don't?
I like cats.
He's a cat.
Oh, of course you do.
Yeah, let's not get into it. Let's not get into it.
Let's not get into it. Let's talk about vices.
Yeah.
Dogs and axes and stuff.
God.
We don't have to talk about any of that stuff.
I don't know. Last night it got real boring for you.
All right, you're in California. People don't know. You moved from upstate New York. You're out in California now, and you're currently looking for a place to live and set up shop and do all that stuff.
Yes, and the hardest part about it is, it was kind of a realization before.
Living in California?
Well, yeah, a little bit. But honestly, the area is cool. You know, I've got people out here that I know and get along with, and we'll work together. We got projects going forward. It's all good shit. The problem is I don't get to just go over to Jimmy's land and, fire up my.
I gotta.
Okay. What are you doing?
I'm letting Joey outside.
You could have just left us. You didn't have to take us with you.
I don't want to miss the story because I don't know this story why Brett's in California. I thought you was in Kansas.
I was. I stopped through to see the family. I haven't been home in a while, and that's where I'm from originally.
Oh, Kansas. Really? What part of Kansas, may I ask?
Just outside of Kansas City on the west side.
West side?
So I'm in Kansas City, Kansas, not Kansas City, Missouri. Uh-huh. And
West side.
And I hadn't traveled home in a little while, so I stayed back there for a few weeks, got a couple projects done for some of the family members, did some auto body work, Chris Cash.
Whoa.
Chris Cash had to help me through that because I had to call him and tell him I lit my brother-in-law's truck on fire.
Yeah, Brett's version of auto body work was lighting the truck on fire.
Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah, what was my response? Oh, I've done that before. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's why I messaged Chris because I told my brother-in-law I was welding up some new body panels on his truck. Because he doesn't have a lot of welding experience. He was like, dude, honestly, anything you do is going to be better than what I do, so I appreciate it. I figured I'd do him a solid because he was helping me out a bunch with the move. And there's this foam. I don't know what that's for on the inside of the quarter panel.
Yeah, it was meant to be a rust deterrent, but it actually turned into a giant sponge over the years.
Yeah, so it smelled horrible, and it's made out of a foam that is more flammable than gasoline.
Yes. As far as I can tell. Yep.
Because the tiniest little spark, like halfway through welding this panel on, a little spark got inside, and the whole fucking side panel, which I had covered with the panel I was welding, so I had to go emergency mode, grab an angle grinder, and cut the entire like section of it out, and then douse it in water. I felt like a real champ. I burned up some of the paint job on the outside. I was feeling real good about myself.
You ultimately finished it, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I got everything done. And it looked clean. I just cut I followed your advice. I cut all the foam out because it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't. It does. Yeah. It's actually better to take everything out and then put it all back together.
Well, and I used a little tip from Eric at Hand Tool Rescue.
Mm-hmm. Just the tip.
Just the tip.
There you go. Of course, that's how he told me. He was like,
of course.
Yeah,
of course.
He goes, I know.
This is of much interest to me. This is of much interest. It is exquisite, and I will touch it.
Much gizmosity. The Rust-Oleum rust reformer, like the self-etching rust reformer, rust primer shit, that stuff is dirt cheap rattle can, but works like a dream. So
yeah.
All the panels got filled in with that. Anyway, welcome back to Car Talk, people. Here we are.
It's fine.
Panels. What's a quarter panel look on your 1995 Chevy Silverado?
Welcome back to Swap Shop. What do you got there, Roy?
Well, I got a bunch of axes that are about ready to kill my cat. But
how much are you asking for the axes, Roy?
I'm surrounded by fucking idiots.
There's the intro.
Jeez.
Oh, shit.
So, long story short is now I live in California, and I'm currently looking for, live/shop space so that I can get... First thing that's going in there is Ship Shop 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben and Jess have been wanting to get a space set up for the propane forge anyways. So I will probably put that wherever I set up, and I'll be kind of the forge metalworking area that they can jump to. And then if I need extra workspace over here, they got a lot of tools and stuff. So there'll be kind of like two or three campuses out here that will all work between.
So how was that moving all of your tools and equipment across the country? That seems like
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. Well, I found a coke dealer out in California.
Is that cocaine?
It's that cocaine. I don't have a lot of stuff, to be honest. Like, my shop setup and my tool setup was relatively minimal. So I put everything on a pallet at gym that I couldn't fit in my truck in Kansas City. And then the guy that I did the railing job for that I was telling you guys about last night ends up going, you could probably ship everything. You can put everything in your truck. You just need like a contractor's camper shell. And I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, I got one. It's been sitting for 15 years. It'll probably track. So I put a camper shell in the back of my truck and loaded it with 1,600 pounds of shit and drove out to California.
My God.
It was a nice 50-mile-an-hour drive most of the way, and I don't have cruise control, so
it was probably fine. I mean, when you're coming out of Kansas, people expect that kind of shit anyway, so.
Dude, not a single batted eyelash anywhere there.
No.
Aside from the New York license plate, I think that's the only thing.
So, last week when I drove through Arkansas, I was telling my buddy, I was like, hey, when you get down to Arkansas, I'm like, you're allowed to just hook multiple vehicles up bumper to bumper and tow them down the road. As long as the back glass says in tow and duct tape. Damn if we didn't cross the Arkansas border and there's three cars hooked together bumper to bumper to bumper. And
are one you guy, serious?
I swear to God, dude. It's the craziest looking thing ever. And all they have to do is put in green duct tape on the back window in tow. No lights, no tags, no nothing. Just go. And it is very common down there. It's quite interesting.
Well, and as someone whose family is from Arkansas, my dad's side of the family. Here's BB Arkansas, located in central Arkansas, south of Lafayette. Wait, what? Fayetteville. Like, we switched to Louisiana for a minute.
Yep.
Arkansas is a little backasswards.
It is. Yeah. I blew a tire in Texarkana. And then we blew a tire on the trailer. And then I passed a exit called Arkandelphia.
Arkandelphia.
And that is a real place, people. It is called Arkandelphia.
Just what
like,
the fuck?
Just like it sounds is how it's spelled.
Boy, where's the weirdest place that you've ever traveled?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't know about the weirdest, but the funniest fucking billboard I've ever seen in my goddamn life was in Missouri.
That just took a left turn.
Well, we're talking about states. It's fucking all Missouri. Right.
Let it rip. At it. Missouri's
so,
shit.
It's two attorneys, okay? One of them's a normal guy, and another one is this big, tall dude with a fucking eye patch, okay? Wait. And it says Brown and Brown, the best two eyes in town, or the best three eyes in town.
Brett, are you sure you don't have relatives in Missouri too?
I mean, that kind of logic checks out. That tracks.
Eye patch. You know?
All right. So I'm kidding on the slogan, but he had a fucking eye patch.
You had me going too.
Brown and Brown, the best three eyes in town.
Oh my God.
But seriously, if you are a fucking, if you're an attorney, you don't lead out with a fucking eye patch. Like, you get a fake fucking eye or do something.
How many cases have you won? All of them except one.
Seriously, I could not. Could you imagine trusting an attorney? Like, you have this fucking meeting set up, and you walk in, and you're like, holy shit, it's fucking One-Eyed Willie. Like, you don't trust a fucking attorney.
Brett's leaving this one alone.
You don't trust an attorney with a fucking eye patch. Seriously.
Okay.
I don't know. See, to me, that's somebody that'll fight for you. They've already taken
a switch. Or do you trust an attorney with an eye patch?
No.
I always get my win.
Brown and Brown. I should try to look those fuckers up.
Oh,
that's so amazing.
Oh, shit. Okay, most recently, Adam C. is a fucking genius and an amazing person. Did you see the quick drawing that he just did?
Yes.
Of Matt kissing the power hammer.
Yes.
That dude is insane.
He is a brilliant, brilliant genius of a man.
He's amazing.
His talent is
severely underrated and not seen by a whole lot of people, which is crazy.
And we're, trying to work on that or help.
So I shot him a message and said, if you put three Adidas stripes on the side of that power hammer, Ilya will lose his mind. 5 minutes later, he texts me a picture of the power hammer with three Adidas stripes. He is insane.
He's absolutely brilliant. I like that Ben Snurp poster that he just came out with.
Yep, I'm going to order one of those, like, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, since we're giving shout-outs, Mr. Snurr was on the old Forged in Fire tonight.
Was he?
I thought you didn't like it. I didn't think you watched that show.
I straight up don't watch that show. But I will support.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God. Brown and Brown attorneys at law. I'm on their fucking website. The guy's got the fucking iPad still on his fucking face. Holy shit.
He's losing his mind on this attorney.
Oh my God.
Oh wow. Anyway, okay. Reel it in, Roy.
Shit.
Yeah, Mr. Snurr was representing the great state of Texas, and he was on Fortune Fire. I actually haven't seen the episode. I got it on the DVR right now, and just got over with here because it's aired at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or something like that.
I'm going to have to watch it.
I already know the outcome.
Interesting. Well, dude, by the time the episode comes out, it won't matter.
Me and Ben are friends, and he called me, like, as soon as he fucking shit the bed and said, I shit the bed, and that was
it. Oh, man.
That's tough.
That's tough.
Yeah, but, yeah, Ben's a dude, man. Ben's a good dude. He's awesome.
Paul Pinto just announced that he's on an episode.
I heard that.
And do you guys know who got contacted to be on Forged in Fire and said politely, no, thank you?
This guy.
Really?
And you? Yeah, I did. And you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I saved a screenshot of the message. Just like it's for no other reason than just like my own standpoint. And honestly, Roy, dude, I don't think I'm good enough to perform
on
that.
Contacted
level.
You, Roy?
Yeah. Two years ago.
What? Do you bring in your own axe head and go like, I got it?
That's so weird.
I did not even respond because
you never told me that. That's interesting.
Well, I don't like to share it. It's personal.
It's personal. I got a message through Instagram, and the girl called out two of the videos specifically on my YouTube channel. It was like, we saw this one, and think you'd be a good fit.
So everybody in the community knows that that show's a shit joke. It's just a joke, and by now it's like anybody. They're digging for anybody they can get to be on the show and make good TV. That's all.
Yeah.
I have.
I mean, I'm not discrediting them emailing you guys, but they're like known for anybody they can.
So I have the email that was sent to me on 4/13/2017. Hi, my name is Courtney. I'm a casting producer with Left Field Entertainment and Associates. Blah, blah, blah. We're an award-winning television. Blah, 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 blah. We're currently casting competitors for the hit show Forge and Fire on the History Channel.
The hit show.
And after taking a look at your website, I thought you might be interested in hearing more. Did you look at my website? Really?
No.
Did you really look at it?
No. I don't think so. Who looks at websites? What is the website?
Best thing to come out of Forged in Fire is when Jeff Fader sent me the infomercial of the Forged in Fire steel pans.
You know who sent Jeff Fader the infomercial?
Was that you?
That was me, because my wife had to go to work one morning at like 5:30, and I happened to flip it on, and I'm like, what the hell is this shit?
They're using a fucking pan, swinging it on an anvil.
Oh my God. So crazy. So ridiculous. All right, we're going to wrap this up. So, Roy, out of those 200 people that you follow...
Mm-hmm.
On
that, okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Who is doing something awesome right now that you would like to talk about? Who's doing something awesome that sticks out in your mind? I want to know, because maybe I want them to be in my top 2,000.
Honestly, ask someone else right now.
What? There's only one other person. You're gonna put
that
on me?
That's you. Yes.
There's nobody that sticks out in your mind.
Look, if you're gonna start, let me give you a little advice. As someone who does a podcast once a week for the last 2 years, when somebody calls you out to be ready, you better be ready.
Well, I didn't know we were gonna do this.
I wasn't
asking
you to look. It's not a segment. I wasn't asking you to look through your phone. I was just saying, did somebody stick out in your mind?
I just don't know how long it takes to look through 200 people. I feel like I can do that. Report.
Oh my. So, okay. Yeah. I will tell you.
Let it rip.
I think Josh Myers of Meyer Knives, he's out in California. He's a stock removal kind of guy. But his work looks so fucking clean and classic. He just posted something up today. He calls them little bullpup knives.
What's his name on there? Meyer Knives.
Yeah.
I'm checking it out right now.
Got you.
He does impeccable work. I did a trade with him maybe 2 years ago. He did some scales for a little cleaver that I picked up. He just does great work. And I think
what's
he's
his name
one
again?
Of Josh Meyer Knives.
I'm not saying it.
You don't see Meyer Knives? M-E-Y-E-R underscore knives.
Pretty sure that's Mayer. Would it be Mayer? Meyer? Is it Mayer? I don't know. Okay. Josh from Auburn, California. Oh, yeah. He does got some rather different.
So I just love his color combinations. He does.
Oh, wow.
His grind lines are beautiful. And I'm not a nice guy at all, but I can appreciate this because his knives are impeccably beautiful. There you go.
The colors and stuff those are wild. That's pretty crazy. He's doing some good stuff.
Yes, I love him.
Okay.
There you go.
Let it
rip. What about you? Someone else go.
Chris, what do you got?
Ben Snur. I mean, I just mentioned him because Ben's always doing it. Everybody thinks Ben's a farrier. He's done farrier work, but he just likes farrier hammers. And I don't know, those big 8-pounders and those big giant versions of the small hammer that he does. I know you've seen them, Brett.
Dude, those things are amazing.
They're amazing, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I've been to his shop. I've worked with him. I know how he does them and everything. But to scale them up like that and to make them look like your 2-pounder without losing any of the dimensions or what's the word I'm looking for? Not perspective, but Ben Snur. Ben Snur's the man, and I love him. And he let me stay this place for like 2 days, and it was like the most amazing experience ever.
I will say, he is an amazing dude, even though I've never met him, because he was about to let me stop by had he not been extremely busy the day that I happened to be driving through.
Yeah.
So even to just be like, yo, dude, I would have totally had you by.
Like driving back across the country, which isn't out of the realm of possibility for you.
Well, no, because you pass by his area.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got you. We've already had that conversation.
Yeah, man.
Ben, so he knows.
So I'm looking at his page right now, and he's got some really pretty hammers on here.
Dude, Ben's a man. He's doing good work.
Yeah, Ben's doing good work, and he's another one that doesn't have a ginormous following, but he's like constantly out in that shop, and he's funny as hell.
Yeah, that's, you want to talk about not taking yourself too serious or just like having fun with what you're doing.
When you play the spoons to a Lil Wayne hip hop track, you're a cowboy. You're a genuine cowboy. That's some funny shit right there.
Yeah, no shit.
Who you got? Who you got, Brett?
We talked about him earlier, but I have to, man, because honestly, the art that Adam's been putting out.
Yes.
What always interested me from the beginning, because we started chatting with each other maybe like a year or year and a half ago. I can't remember. It was really early on, and he started to get to be friendly with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And to actually have somebody who's that talented of an artist drawing the people that are in our community, like, it is something that you always
so
see them
awesome.
In digital form, or you always see photos of these people taken, but his interpretation and like the work that he chooses to show off from these people it's something that no one else is really doing, and it's only feeding the beast more of just like, oh man, this really amazing vice that Chris found, or the anvil, you know, when he did the little still frame of you running to the anvil, stuff like that is like, the photo or the video of it is funny, but a captured moment like that in a style illustrative.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
It's just, he's doing good stuff, and I want him to just get all the best things and get all the exposure he can.
He just posted the coolest story on his Instagram tonight. He said, Chris Cash stopped by my place. Did you see it? Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
Oh, okay. He said, Chris Cash stopped by my house, and he said something very important to me. He says, and he did like my voice. He said, hey, are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook? And I'm like, yeah, I'm on Facebook. Why? He says, get the fuck off Facebook. Facebook's a fucking trash place to be. Don't be on there. That's a fucking cesspool of negativity is what I told him. I said, get the fuck off of it. Guess what he posted today? He goes, I got off Facebook today. He goes, and it felt great.
Well, I was like, right on. We will miss him. We will miss him in the Fools of Tools room, which is the only room and group that should ever be used on Facebook.
Yeah. I think he was just somebody reached out to him, and he didn't want no parts of the person that was reaching out, so he just deleted everything.
Dude. Congrats, props.
What a great way to get rid of negativity. Say, see you later to everything.
Yes.
I'm a big advocate of that.
He's still too tied into the community. It won't matter if he's not on Facebook.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. I got his artwork. I am so fucking excited to put his artwork on my wall at my new place.
I know, dude.
I've had it all wrapped up, protected. It was probably the most taped up, boxed up, triple layered plastic protected shit.
It's crazy. Yeah, Roy asked me last night. He goes, you can do a logo. I said, Adam. Matt asked me the other day. He's like, yeah, I was talking to Adam about it. I was like, just do it. Whatever he wants to charge, just do it. Get him to make your logo.
Yes.
It's just badass. Matt asked me the same thing. Roy asked me last night. So, all right, that's a wrap.
That's we're a wrapping wrap that up.
On the accent. Do it, Brett. Oh, you got this.
That's the wrap on the first episode of Axon Iron.
Oh my god! Yeah!
You fucking killed it.
If that fucking didn't record. Alright, let's see.
We'll see you next time.